Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, July 9th, 2019. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, let's see, more about alcoholism. We're on page 38. I'm going to unpack one single paragraph today, which will be paragraph 3, and that begins with, some of you are thinking, and ends at the top of page 39 with thanks for the information. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Nan K., the 12 Traditions, Laura R. Reading the text in support today is Jackie H., Elaine T., and Eileen M., and at the end of the meeting, after the recording has stopped, Wendy B. will invite newcomers and grab up some sponsor contact information, and Leslie M. will give you some very important announcements. So stay tuned, clear to the top of the hour, please, if you can. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be for July 8th, Monday, 2019, is 13126, 13,126. And then for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book meeting that happened already this morning, Tuesday, July 9th, 2019, is 13129, 13,129. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nan K. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, I'm Nan K., a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern Michigan. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Nan K. I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thanks, Melanie. This is Laura R., compulsive overeater. These are the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting for the recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Please be clear that this means star 1 on your phone keypad function only. Today we resume the study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter more about alcoholism. We're on page 38, focusing our comments today on paragraph 3, which begins with "some of you are thinking," and then ends at the top of page 39 with "thanks for the information." And I will ask Jackie H. to read that paragraph and open us up with sharing her experience, strength, and hope on what she's learned from the directions there. Hey, good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. Thank you all for being here. This is Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. So, some of you are thinking, yes, what you tell us is true, but it doesn't fully apply. We admit we have some of these symptoms, but we have not gone to the extremes you fellows did, nor are we likely to, for we understand ourselves so well after what you have told us that such things cannot happen again. We have not lost everything in life through drinking, and we certainly do not intend to. Thank you for the information. So, wow, I was, this is kind of funny. I was like, I can't share anything on this. What can I share on this? What can I share on this? And my higher power is so beautiful to just give me these opportunities to just lean into my higher power and say, what do you want me to say? And I have a lot to say, actually. And this is the way I live my life. This is the way I've lived my life. I developed a very, very, very strong, big denial muscle through the decades of my life. And so I see what I want to see, and I hear what I want to hear. And as a little girl, my mom was probably 5'1", 5'2", at the most, and she weighed 350 pounds. And I was not going to be her. I was not going to look like her. I was embarrassed for her. I was embarrassed of her. I felt sorry for her. All of that stuff, right? And I was not going to be her. And so what I did, but I was her. And trust me, if I would have eaten or kept down in this little body everything that I that I ate, I would have weighed 600 pounds because I was a compulsive overeater. And I hit it with bulimia, and I hit it with anorexia, and I hit it with just all of that stuff. And I wanted to make it pretty. And so I wasn't an compulsive overeater. I had an eating disorder. And that could be taken care of by going to therapy, and I could take care of that by having knowledge and knowing what to do. I could take care of it through dieting. Oh my goodness. I can see here that this is me. This whole paragraph is me. And so no, I never did have those high pounds. So that's the same thing as we have not lost everything in life through drinking. No, I had not had those high pounds, that heavy weight. But oh my goodness, I was sick. And the day I took the first step before I ever picked up the phone to Vision, believe it or not, I had been free of bulimia for many, many years, and I had decided, through all kinds of stuff, I ended up picking up the food again. And one day I ate my little pint of coconut cream ice cream because I was dairy free. And I ate the whole pint, and guess where I found myself, ladies and gentlemen? Over the frickin' toilet, doing what I did when I was a little girl. And I'm just emotional thinking about it. It was like, oh shit, I am frickin' sick. And this has not gone away. And I'm telling you, I did. I knew at that point, that was step one for me. And when I picked up the phone and phoned into this meeting, my goodness, I was ready to have you guys pick me up and carry me and do whatever the heck I was supposed to do, because I knew that I was desperate and that it wasn't going to go away. It had gone away for a long time, but there I was again. And so thank you, God. And then the beautiful thing is that the universe, my higher power, just orchestrated everything because I was ready and willing. And I'll tell you what, everything lined up, and I found this meeting, and I found a sponsor with whom the problem had been solved. And here I am today, right? Sitting here reading this, saying, oh God, I don't have anything to say. And God says, oh yes, you do, sweetheart. So with that, I will pass. I love all of you. Have a great Tuesday.
Thank you, Jackie H. The lines are now open for folks to comment on page 38, paragraph 3 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous as a compulsive overeater. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Pamela R.B.
Morning. This is
Freya H. Freya.
Elaine.
Robin
H. Elaine.
Patty P.
Robin.
Pamela R.B.
Dr. Pamela
R.
Patty
Eileen.
P. Eileen.
Lane C.
That's it. And Lane C. Squeezed you in there. Okay. So I have Pamela R.B., I have Freya H., and Elaine. I'm not sure if it's T. I think it's probably T. Robin H., Patty, Eileen, and Lane. Hi, Pamela. You're up first.
Good morning. Thank you, Melanie. This is Pamela R.B. from Michigan. Oh, my God. You know, this just reeks arrogance all over it. I think that is pretty much how I hid my personality, being arrogant. Oh, no, that's not me. I remember back in 2005, a friend of mine who was in another sector of this program came to me, and she gave me these 20 questions to answer. And every last one of those questions I refuted. And then after some time, it just sat with me, and I thought, oh, how arrogant. You know, you are every one of those questions and more. You know, I am so convinced that I am who I am. And it's always been me using justification, rationalization, all of those character defects to cover up who I really was. And I really appreciate the last caller, because that's pretty much my story. My mother was the same way, and her biggest fear for me was to, you know, to be obese. And obviously, in 10 years after or before her death, I had picked up 10 pounds a year. And so I was, in essence, 100 pounds overweight at that time. But, you know, when people would come to me and approach me about, you know, the weight, I would tell them, well, you know, I'm not as bad as you. And after all, I can fast and, you know, I can go raw and I could use any excuse. But I was never really willing to really look at me honestly. And in September of 2017, I put down all of the excuses. I ran out of them. And I've been abstinent ever since. And the weight has come off. And I am so grateful that I sponsor. And there was a meeting that was struggling. And I'm grateful that my higher power continued to work with me and encourage me to continue to sit in that meeting. And I have to tell you all, you know, it's one of the largest meetings of people of color here in my area. And I'm so proud to have been an instrument to be used to have that. And these people have never had recovery and they're studying the big book and they're getting it. I'm thinking, oh my God, what a gift. So I'm just in awe of, you know, I don't regret the past. I don't wish to close the door on it, but it does propel me into my future and things that, and the gifts that are to come as I continue to work. So thank you all so much for letting me share and have a blessed day.
Thanks so much, Pamela. It's Pamela R. B. Freya H., you're up next, and then Elaine T. will follow you. Freya H. Press star 1, Freya H., if you're still there. If not, we'll move on to Elaine T. in the interest of time.
This is Freya H. I'm sorry. I was talking away. Can you hear me?
Hi. I sure can.
Thank you, Melanie. Compulsive eater bulimic in Colorado. The fact that this paragraph is in this book is, I feel like it was written for me. You know, like it's for those of us who really want to identify out or come up with the loophole. Like, here this is, put right in there. And when I see that, you know, just like when I learned that one of the symptoms of my disease is that I think I don't have a disease, that was really, when I really understood that, it was kind of like a nail in the coffin. It was like, oh, there goes one of my excuses. And then this paragraph addresses a lot of the other excuses I had. You know, I never went to the extremes. And I'm certainly not going to do it again. You know, I haven't lost everything in life, and I certainly don't intend to. I just love that. You know, thanks for the information. I'm going to go on my merry way. But I did have some of these symptoms, and that's what got me in the door, and that was the beginning for me of step one. And I got, you know, the first part of step one was really getting the powerlessness over food. Like, I was willing to admit that, but what I didn't understand and what I wasn't introduced to clearly for a long time was the powerlessness over my thinking. You know, what the things that are illustrated in this chapter so beautifully, that was not part of my earlier OA experience. I really didn't get, you know, it was like, well, once the food's in order, why am I still doing this? And I did it because people said, keep coming back. And I did it because, you know, I was told that if I left, then I would be back in the food, but I didn't understand that the reason why I need to keep doing this program is because I have to address this mental obsession and that the problem really isn't the food at all. And when the food is down, then I get to find out what's actually going on, which for me is, you know, old ideas, approaches, attitudes about life that just weren't working. You know, just a very practical, it's just not working. And here is a way that I get to, you know, uncover, discover, discard that stuff, and then be open to something new, which isn't necessarily something that I order up. You know, I get to be open to something new that my higher power orders up for me. So I'm really grateful for the opportunity to share on this. And you know, it's that idea that it doesn't fully apply. Now I read the book and I approach my program with, you know, with this willingness and openness to ask God to show me how does this fully apply to me, even if I don't understand it at this point. And as I continue to work and practice and work with other people, it becomes more and more clear. And that is, instead of being, I called it a nail in the coffin, instead of being like a sentence, it's like this you know, it's like this extra level of freedom. So it's like, oh, if this applies to me, the solution applies to me. I can be part of this thing. I don't have to fight it anymore. So thanks so much for letting me share. I will pass.
Thanks so much, Freya H. Elaine T., you're up, and then Robin H. will follow you.
Hi, this is Elaine J. from Newport Beach, California. It's J, not T, okay? Hello?
I'm here, and you're up.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry to say, but everything applies to me in the big book, and I've known that. I came in I think, 74 as a young teenager, and I had even bought a plaque at the drugstore saying the Serenity Prayer because I knew that God could do for me what I couldn't do for myself. But I didn't have the application, and when I came in and I saw a life-size Serenity Prayer my first meeting, I knew that I was home. That said, I continued to compulsively overeat off and on for the first 20 years, and I almost lost everything. I lost a marriage. I lost jobs. I would go on trips, skiing, Europe, China, the Orient, all over the place, Australia, and I couldn't wait to get home because I could go back to dieting. And my abstinence was dieting with God. And what happened almost 25 years ago, I finally got abstinent. And now my problems are high-end problems. I don't have those issues anymore. But I got to tell you, I almost lost everything. I was never suicidal, but I had no attachment to living for years in OA because I couldn't stay abstinent. Once I got a year and a half, and then I got 8 months, and et cetera, et cetera. But I struggled and struggled and struggled. I walked out of meetings. I mean, I couldn't. I felt that I was too defective and too sick. I used to say, if you had my mind, you'd eat too. And I finally got abstinent, I think it was 1994, and I've never, ever picked up. And I never had the denial. I just didn't know. I couldn't get abstinent. I didn't have the ability. So I'm a relapse survivor, and God has done for me what I could never do for myself. I'm very, very slender. I don't have the anxiety and depression that I used to do. I mean, it was debilitating. The state of California labeled me disabled. And I'm free. And I'm free because of the big book and these 12 steps. And denial was never a part of my story. I just thought that abstinence was dieting with God. And so I still thought I needed to be in control of my food and my weight. Anyway, I'm very, very grateful to be here. I love the big book. I couldn't survive without it. I can recite a good portion of it because I need it. I carry it in my heart and memory. Anyway, I just want to thank you for letting me share, and thank you for 12-stepping me. I'm Elaine J. in Newport Beach, California. God bless you all.
Hello?
Melanie, we can't hear you.
Hi, thanks so much for that reminder. It's Robin H.'s turn to visit with us this morning, and then Patty will come in after you.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for your service. This paragraph, as the reader was starting to read it, I actually got stuck on or held, sort of like my head being held, staring, my eyes fixated on some of you are thinking, and I almost didn't even hear the rest of the paragraph. I just, like, looking at that, hearing that in my head, I'm saying, that's the problem. That is the problem. That has been my problem my entire life. I'm thinking. I'm in my head, and I've heard it said a couple of times already this morning, others sharing the sense of themselves, and I'm sitting here going, oh my gosh, I am so arrogant. And I have said that to myself a couple of times over the past couple of days. And I'm not beating myself up over it. I'm grateful because I can hear it and catch myself and know that I'm able to say that and hear that because my higher power is working for me, guiding me, saying, you know, Robin, like, get out of your head. And it is not all, it's not about me. It isn't. The world isn't about me. Other people's lives aren't about me. Like, life isn't about me. And I you know, looking back, I've done other fellowships, been a part of other 12-step programs, seeking recovery and help. And I experienced some relief, but what I never got was a connection with my higher power, because, well, I used to say, I'm like, I just don't understand higher power. Well, I think that's also the point, is that I can't understand higher power. I have to feel my higher power. And I now understand, like, now I can hear the big book being read, and I've not really ever read it before, and I hadn't read it in other fellowships, but I'm really grateful that we are. And I can read and hear the readings as truly directions. And I feel like I used to kick and scream with such resentment, saying, you know, nobody taught me how to live life. Like, nobody showed me. Why me? Why didn't anyone tell me what I'm supposed to eat, what I'm not supposed to eat? And I was looking for that. And the reason that nobody did is because it's not other people's responsibility. I have to listen to my higher power guiding me, telling me what I should be eating, what's good for me, what's better for me. And every day I need to read and infuse my life with the instructions in the big book. Thank you so much. And when I can infuse my life with these instructions and directions, that's how I can hear my higher power speaking to me. Thank you so much. I'm very grateful to all of you for being here and for being here. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Robin H. Patty T., you're next, and then Eileen M. will follow you.
Hi, can you hear me, Melanie?
Loud and clear.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for your service, and good morning, everyone. This is Patty T. from Southern California, recovered today by the grace of God. So it says right here, we understand ourselves. Let's rephrase that. I understand myself so well after what you told me that such things cannot happen again. And my experience as a compulsive overeater is that not only can they do. Because you know what? Self-will avails me nothing. That's true. But self-knowledge avails me nothing as well. You know, and then the next sentence, we have not.
I think we lost you there for a second, Patty T. Are you still with us?
Can you hear me now?
I can now, yep.
Okay, sorry, something happened. But anyway, it says here, we've not lost everything in life through drinking, and we certainly do not intend to. So that is exactly how my will sounds in my head. That sentence right there. I have not gone that far, and I certainly don't intend to. But this is what I did lose. I lost connection with people, friends, loved ones, and I'm talking like estrangement because of the isolation from this disease. I lost my future as a young woman because of the fear that I kept falling into as a result of this disease from the isolation. I did lose a whole life practically, but I didn't intend to. And today I have a higher power that can bring me back to reality. I have fellows who can help me find God in every situation. It just happened for me recently, and I was just astounded at how simple it was. But I couldn't rely on myself. I had to ask for help, and that's my part. Being able to ask for help today is because of the willingness that this big book and you guys teach me every day on this line. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Patty T. Eileen M., you're next, and then Lane C., and then we'll open it up for some more folks to comment on the paragraph. And that paragraph is on page 38, paragraph 3. So get ready for those that want to share next. Hi, Elaine. Sorry about stepping on your toes.
Okay. Good morning, Melanie. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. And I really like this paragraph because it really identifies my thinking. I think just like this. And, I appreciate the other words that were used to describe this arrogance and denial. And I was also thinking of the word defensive because, you know, for me, it was like I would hear this information. I would just start having to defend myself and say, you know, well, I don't really match this condition and kind of identify out, as people have been saying. I didn't have a lot of physical consequences because my highest weight over a normal weight was 20 pounds over a normal weight. So I kept, you know, I would just justify so well. It's like, well, I'm not as overweight as other people, and I'm tall, so I can get away with eating more, et cetera. And I always lived my life waiting for the other shoe to drop, and when the shoe dropped, I would go to food. And this was even while I was in OA in program. You know, for decades, I would overeat abstinent food and think, oh, it's okay because it's not flour and sugar, because those are my main things that I'm addicted to. And I would just justify it, you know. And like, you know, at the time I had like nowhere else to go because I didn't have, I didn't really understand about the mental obsession. And I didn't have, you know, I would go to the tools of the program that I was taught, which was going to meetings, just go to more meetings, just make more phone calls, you know. And just do more writing in your journal, and that's what I did, and it didn't work. So I just, you know, I also had no idea that I actually affected other people. I had no clue. I thought I was like in this world by myself, and nothing I did like disturbed other people. I just thought, oh yeah, life is going fine. There's no problems here, you know, that total denial. I just did not know what I didn't know. I didn't realize how sick I was. And I'm just so grateful for the life that I have today because I have absolutely no food obsession. I have no food thoughts. And, you know, I can walk through any circumstance. And now I have, you know, my tools are much better now because now I can do an inventory. I can look at what is my thinking. You know, somebody mentioned the word thinking because it's all about my thinking. And I'm so grateful for that knowledge now. So, thanks so much, and thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks, Eileen M. We are on page 38 of the Big Book, unpacking today paragraph 3, which begins with some of you are thinking and ends at the top of 39 with thanks for the information. And after Lane C. has her 3 minutes, I would like to open up the line for a few more people to comment on that before we close out the recorded portion of the meeting. Hi, Lane, it's your turn. Everyone else,
hi, Melanie.
Please star one.
Hi, this is Lane C., recovered compulsive overeater from Rochester, New York. Thank you so much for your service, and thanks to everyone who has shared thus far. I just feel like my understanding has just expanded and expanded and expanded about this paragraph. And I guess the way that I relate into this is when I look at this paragraph and when I think about the times when I have been in this thought process, I think about control and how, you know, for us, we understand ourselves so well after what you have told us that such things cannot happen again. And for me, when I came into this program and in this program, I really functioned in a way of like, just tell me how to control it. Tell me how to control the eating. Tell me how to control the cravings. I came in here, I certainly found a great meal plan. I started to lose weight. And then the second that happened, I mean, I literally packed up a bunch of food, went out to a cabin in the woods, and relapsed. It was just like, well, you know, I've got this under control now. Thank you so much for the information. And just found myself back in that really powerless place again. What I love, this is one of my favorite chapters in the big book. And I think the reason why is because it's really getting to that delusion that we can control it. I mean, this is a paragraph that is, or this is a chapter that's about, you know, the insanity of believing that we can control something that is completely beyond our control and out of our hands, out of our minds. I mean, we have to find a power greater than ourselves that we can, you know, consult with and hand our power over to it, you know, so that we can be restored to sanity. And being restored to sanity for me has looked like letting go and releasing the illusion that I can have control over the food, over other people, over any sort of number of things over which I have wanted control in my life. And so, you know, I'm just so grateful for everything that everybody has shared thus far and look forward to hearing from other folks too. Thank you so much for making this meeting possible today, everyone. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much. Lane C, the lines are now open for folks to comment on that paragraph. Who would like to comment?
Ginger C.
Can I hear Ginger C and Shirley R?
Bernie W.
R.J.B. Was that Lisa J.R.?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Cheryl gotcha. S. Okay. Cheryl S.
Laura R.
Sherry K.B.
Freedom H.
Laura R. Sherry K.B. I'm going to have to stop there, Freedom, because I'm not real sure about the time just yet, but we can get to you if there's still time. This is what I have. Ginger C., Lisa J.R., Cheryl S., Laura R., and Sherry K.B., and perhaps Freedom. We'll see. Okay. Good morning, Ginger.
Hey, Melanie. Good morning. Thank you for your service. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. So Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm just laughing. We're moving, and of course, boxes are everywhere. Things are flying, and I'm so glad I always keep my big book on the side of my car because I knew exactly where to find that. So I love what we're reading this morning, and this especially. We admit we have some of these symptoms, but we have not gone to the extremes you fellows did, nor are we likely to, for we understand ourselves. I didn't understand myself by any means, but I definitely identified out all the time because I wasn't as bad as some, and it wasn't going to be that big of a problem until it was. And also, I didn't want to give up food. I wanted to be terminally unique. What you tell us is true, but it doesn't fully apply to me. I'm special. I'm different. I can beat this. I can keep this food in place because I need it. I put down drugs and alcohol, and human emotions kept building, and I needed something. And I thought food was the lesser of the two evils. So, of course, all I knew was relapse over and over and over because I wasn't done until I was done. But thank God that the food surrendered me, just like every other addiction. I don't surrender. That's control. I get surrendered by my eating because the pain gets so heavy and so hard that I have no option but God help me. I'm screwed and I need something. And thank God this practical program of action works. But I have to first and foremost say goodbye to the food, and probably in a way that I never have said goodbye before. Because in OA, I always thought I could still figure out some way, somehow, to still keep those bites in place. I thought sugar-free was the answer. Oh, it's not sugar. I'm good to go. And then I ate a whole box of fudgesicles one night with my husband, and he's like, really, you're having another one? But yes, that's what I do. It's too sweet for my tongue. I have no IQ with that tongue. And once I start, I do not stop. And of course, then I'm back to Coca-Colas and chocolate bars and all the real fine sugar. So again, thank God that this works. And thank God I don't have to do any more research to be convinced, because I absolutely head to heart know that I am a real compulsive overeater, and one bite is way too many, and I cannot afford to return. I don't think I'll get back. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Ginger C. Lisa J.R., you're next, and then Cheryl S. will follow you.
Good morning, Melanie. Lisa J.R. here from Baltimore. Grateful today, grateful for this meeting. You know, a good author, Ed, like Bill, they repeat something. You know, we see italics take notice with the italics, but when he repeats a theme over and over 100 different ways, you know, we have to take notice. And again, in this paragraph that I too skimmed over when I first started reading the big book, you know, this paragraph, I felt like the first share, you know, what about this? You know, this isn't that profound, but it is profound and it is repeated. The theme that self-knowledge is not going to cut it for me. Many of us here have been dieting and calorie counting long enough that we could probably become certified nutritionists or diet coaches. And, you know, I'm no different. I knew the calories in, calories out, how fast I had to run to burn calories. But it didn't matter. You know, many times I fared forth in high hopes. Many times I took the knowledge that I got from you fine people in Overeaters Anonymous, and I said, okay, you know, I'm not that bad. I could identify out. I could always identify out. You could go to any meeting, and if you want to identify out, you can find something to identify out with. And if you want to recover, nothing's going to stop you, you know, and you'll identify in. You'll do the opposite. And so once I let go and I surrendered and I quit comparing, you know, somebody once told me, compare leads to despair, and they were right on, because as soon as I quit trying to compare my behavior with everybody else's behavior, and I realized that the underlying theme was this obsession, you know, I left the program time after time because I said, I'm not going to devote this time to this program. I mean, who wants to go to a meeting every day? That's lame. Well, guess what? I spent countless hours thinking about the food, thinking about how to work off the food, time sneaking the food, you name it. My whole day revolved around food. You know, I even stayed in a profession because it was very physically taxing, and I was able to eat all I wanted and still stay thin. You know, and now I can tell you, if you're like me, and you're young and just checking in, your body will break down. Your hips, your feet, exercise bulimia is not a solution.
Time.
And thanks for letting me share with that. I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Cheryl S., you're next, and Laura R. will follow you. Cheryl S., star one, please.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Melanie. Thank you for the meeting. Thank you for the shares. I'm grateful to be back here and with so much more awareness. Thank you. And I say, you know, what stood out for me in this paragraph, I'll try to be quick in a simple few words. Thanks for the information. And I wrote down this morning before the call, I was in a store, and I said, I feel agitated and irritated today and overwhelmed. I'm learning to identify my feelings and acknowledge them, feel them, and take them to God. Yes, that's what I'm learning today, step three, and versus myself being so unwilling to let go. That's what I think about in those few words before. Thanks for the information came from my ignorance, one, my ego, my denial, my self-centeredness, and my laziness. I didn't want to do the work. I didn't understand. I was trying to identify how I was this addict, this with all these compulsive behaviors, harming myself, and it was just way over my head. But I kept coming back. I didn't stop, and God kept giving me what I needed along the way to help me to understand that awareness. So today, thanks for the information, is with Gleam that now I know. It's clear to me. It's like, what's this, you know, this all about? And for me, it's about accepting and identifying in who I am. And I'm just so grateful for that today. I know today who I am. You know, I'm an addict. You know, I'm an adult child. I was affected. My father's an alcoholic. I have compulsive behaviors in all my affairs, just like it talked about here, in all my affairs. I'm just so grateful for thanks for the information, because without this information, where would I be? If I didn't keep coming back, if you all didn't keep accepting me in your loving arms. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. Laura R., you're next.
Great. This is Laura R., compulsive overeater in Colorado. Gosh, I am just so incredibly grateful to be on the line and to be actually amongst all you fellows. Before I walked into Overeaters Anonymous, every morning I sit and do prayer meditation, and my thinking, you know, again, like for probably a year or two, it was, God, today I'm not going to eat this way. You know, God, please help me. God, you know, me, more me. Please just get me out of the obsession to eat. Okay, I'm not going to eat today. And, you know, what method do I, you know, what am I going to do? Okay, I'm going to abstain this way, or I'm going to do paleo, or whatever. Like, it was always about me and my prayer. And honestly, today I could say I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And I cannot even believe it's taken over a year to get to where I'm at today. But by God's grace, in my prayers today, that came up, like the methods that I used to try and what my thinking was. And it was just, like, again, thinking all about me, the insanity. You know, honestly, that's what drove me in. I only had 20 pounds to lose, too. I'm tall, and but I was so tired of me. Like, I was locked in a prison of Laura, and I was like, oh, my God, I cannot think about another diet anymore. I just can't do this. And thank God I walked into Overeaters Anonymous. But this morning, in my prayers, it wasn't about me. You know, I said, God, help me be able to help the man who's still sick. And that, my heart is so full, you know. And I got to call another woman who I was actually trying to find, Cheryl S., and I called another fellow, and, you know, I got to help another compulsive overeater who's in the food. So it was just like, it's just so amazing today that my thinking's not about me. I don't care. Like, I mean, I'm so glad. Like, it's just like, I'm so tired that I don't have the symptoms. No, I didn't have half of them, but I did have the thinking. And then once I took the bite took me. So it just doesn't matter. Like, I just don't want to live that way anymore. I don't want to think about myself anymore. I do, like, God has changed me to now think, how can I like carry the message to someone else? And that was not where I was over a year ago. So I'm just grateful to be here. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Laura R. Sherry KB, you'll be the one that ends this discussion today. My apologies, Freedom H. The time won't allow for a second share. Good morning.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for your service, Melanie, and everybody on the line. And Team Tuesday, and welcome newcomers. We admit that we had some of these symptoms, but we haven't gone as far as you fellows have. That was always my thing. Or I'm not as bad as you. What really gets me here is when it says, you have told us such things cannot happen again, you know, well after, you know, so it could never happen to me. And, you know, thinking I know everything, that's when I am in my disease, when I think I know everything, because knowledge avails me nothing. You know, when I think I had this all figured out, I'll figure all this out. And this is the mental twist telling me, you know, I'm different than you guys, I'm not as bad as you. That's the insanity, is trying to compare myself out rather than identifying in, because that's what my disease wants. My disease wants me to think, I'm not as bad as you. It's not that bad. And I know that, like on page 24, it talks about that, you know, we forget about how bad it was a week ago, a month ago. We have like this amnesia. And so I never want to forget how bad it is. I know how important it is for me to remember this, and that to keep my nose in this book and to take people through. And I was telling my husband that the other day. I said, you know, I will never not be in this book. I know that one day at a time for the rest of my life. And before that, before all this work that I learned to do and be in this book and be on this line, I just used it with diet, with group support. I never thought I had a problem. I never realized that the main problem centers in my mind. I didn't get that because the insanity for me was that I didn't think I had a problem. You know, I just needed to lose a little weight. I had, you know, a little buildup of human emotion, but doesn't everybody. And so, you know, the insanity of it all for me has been trying to identify out all along. And so that's why when I work with other people and when I went through it, I was told, identify in, look for the similarities rather than the differences, because the differences will kick you out of here. You know, I'm not as bad as you. You know, it's interesting because where's God in all this? God's not anywhere in that. And I know I need my higher power. And I've heard people who had to lose only 9 pounds, and the stories I've heard behind those 9 pounds scared the hell out of me. So I don't compare myself to anybody anymore. I only compare myself to myself when I came in this program. And my disease wants me to identify out. So that's why I always need to be identifying in. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Sherry KB. It's perfect timing. Appreciate that very much. So that will be the end of the sharing part of our meeting this morning, and we're going to move on now to closing out the recorded portion. If Elaine T. would please read, our book is meant to be suggestive only, on page 164 of the Big Book.
Good morning, Mel.
Thank you.
I have the page. There it is. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.